The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. Talk to Alan Dershowitz and Robbie George, both of them brilliant, brilliant men. One, a brilliant professor at Princeton University and one of the biggest names in the conservative movement, Robbie George. I talked to him about, is this jailworthy? Is this treason? What is this, if anything? He said the same thing that Alan Dershowitz said. Legally, absolutely nothing can be done. Legally, he's not going to jail. Legally, there's no crime here. All right, so that's good news. But what else was their advice? We'll get to that coming up in just a second. Why this story actually does matter to you in your life, what it means, and the future. Are we replaying the past? We'll look at that beginning right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America, and welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. Glad that you are here. Donald Trump said yesterday that his son was open, transparent, and innocent. He also said he was a very classy boy. What was the first thing that he said? Something like
he's a high quality guy or
high
something.
Quality, big, beautiful quality doors person. At his house. Yeah, like it. High quality, which I thought was a funny, very Trump statement. He did come out later and say that he was open, transparent, and innocent. Okay. Open and transparent. No. But he did release the document yesterday, about halfway through this program. That showed the emails, but that is because it's important to remember the New York Times, whoever is leaking these, which is a conversation we have to have, who leaked this email? Who had a copy of this email? Who leaked this email to the New York Times? How'd they get that? Donald Trump Jr. had told us that Kushner and Manafort had no idea what the meeting was about. But if you look at the email chain, in the CC was Kushner and Manafort. So is it possible that one of them leaked this email knowing that it was coming out? And, a couple of weeks ago, knowing that they had already told the FBI about this meeting. And so at some point, the investigation is going to lead to this. I want to make sure that I look like I'm clean. Manafort, if you know, Manafort in the New York Times and from the KGB woman, or the woman who's definitely not KGB, she said Manafort was just looking at his BlackBerry or his iPad the whole time. He wasn't even paying attention. And Kushner, he left within 2 minutes. So both of those two were kind of cleared in some sort of way by the Russian woman. I know that Donald Jr. tried to clear them, but unfortunately his email had the CC to both of them, so they both knew what this meeting was all about. That's not exactly, open and transparent. When you release something because the feds are going to release it or the press is going to release it within a few minutes, it doesn't really count like, oh, I wanted to get it out there. You did a good job because now people are able to say, hey, he released this. Didn't come from the news. But it also works against you if you have been on the front line saying fake news, fake news, fake news, because we can easily say it's not fake news. He released this. So the questions we have to ask are, if this isn't a crime, if this isn't something that you're going to go to jail for, this is really just a sin. And is this a sin of what? Is it a sin of commission or omission? Is this a sin of impeachable status? Or is this just a sin that we all forgive and move on? Or is this something that we all defend? And that's where we have to look. And I want to talk to you, not as a guy who, I want to hear from you. I don't want to tell you what to think. I really want to have a conversation with you because I want to know how you are thinking. I want to know how you are viewing this. I want to give you a chance to vent. I want to give you a chance to reason and think. So the conversation that I'd like to have with you is one where I am pushing and prodding and asking questions, but I'm going to do that on both sides. I don't want to hear from people who are wearing a team jersey. If you are strongly never Trump, strongly always Trump, strongly, you know, one side or another, I really want to hear from people who are struggling with this or have made up their mind one way or another that can help others, but you're not just a robot on, I got to get Donald Trump out, I got to keep Donald Trump in. I want to talk to real people. Here's what I want to preface this with. Before this election, I said, we have to get to a place to where we ask ourselves in advance of a scandal, does it matter? And this comes from the Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton debacle of the 90s. Does this matter? Here's what happened in the 90s, as you remember. The left said, he didn't. We said, yes, he did. No, he didn't. 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 For about 8 months. And then all of a sudden it was revealed that, oh my gosh, yes, he did. Then what did they do? Doesn't matter. Yes, it does. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. Then why were we arguing about this for so long? Well, it matters to him personally. This is a personal sin. This doesn't have anything to do with him being president. Yes, it does. The president can't lie to the American people. It was a personal lie. Doesn't matter. Yes, it does. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. Oh, my gosh. Now, I want to talk to you about the after effects. You most likely argued that a sin about sex in a marriage doesn't matter. And so what happened was we went through about 8 months or a year, or maybe two, of arguing about, is oral sex sex? Depends on what the definition of is. The damage that this did to the credibility, the reason why Hillary Clinton lost is because we didn't teach the Clintons a lesson then. If Hillary Clinton would have said, you know, the truth does matter. If she would have come out, I've believed this, I've said this when it was happening. If Hillary Clinton would have taken her luggage and put it in front of the White House and said, he's still my president, but he's not my husband right now. We may get back together, but no man should ever treat a woman like that. The truth does matter. Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton's life would be a lot different. And Hillary Clinton may have been president in 2000 because she would have had credibility, and perhaps she would have learned, perhaps, because we are talking about the Clintons, perhaps she would have learned that doing standing up for the truth pays off. But instead, her supporters said, oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, we love you anyway. You guys can get things done. And so the truth didn't matter. Now, how has this affected our kids? Pat, do you have that stat of...
I don't have it in front of me, but it seems to me it was about 80% of 12-year-olds in 2009 or 2010 that didn't believe oral sex was sex.
Right. It is meaningless to them. And they really don't believe that oral sex is sex. And they are embracing it. What one generation tolerates, the next embraces. Now remember, I know how you feel about your kids. I know how you feel about your life. I know how you're feeling now about, I haven't had a raise. I haven't had a job. I can't afford my insurance. I'm under attack with my children. I can't even send them to school. Right. Right. So I can't tell you what you need to do. You need to do what you need to do. But for me, if we lose the younger generation, it's not even Generation X. I have something that we're probably not going to get around to today. A new study on Generation Z. Have you seen Generation Z? They are a direct result of the Tea Party. I'm convinced of it. They are a direct result of how bad the government has gotten and how we have infused things into them because of the Tea Party, standing up for what is right and standing up for smaller government and the truth and transparency. Generation Z is not like Generation X. And there's a new study out that says, Democrats, be warned, Generation Z is not in your roundhouse. They're not with you. So what we do with our children right now makes all the difference in the world. Now, we know how it worked out on oral sex, an unintended consequence. We thought we would teach our children about lies, and perhaps we did, but what we actually taught them was sex is meaningless. Oral sex is meaningless. It means nothing. And they learned that just from us arguing back and forth. I don't know what they're going to learn from this, but I know they're going to watch us and they're going to learn something. And so I want to be really, really careful before we engage in arguments. It's why I'd like to turn down the volume of this and have a reasonable conversation. And that's why I've asked for people with no teams. If you're on a team, that's fine. As long as you can turn the passion down, because I don't want to add to the name calling and the passion, because I don't want to begin to set the example for our children before we really know what we're doing, because we don't have all the facts right yet. And I'm more concerned about the children, our children, and what we're teaching them, because we all know if we lose our children, we're toast. We already know what the left is teaching their children. We already know what the institutions are teaching our children. We're the last hope with our children. So let's be careful as we proceed today. We're going to take a lot of phone calls today, 888-727-BECK. There's a couple of things that I do want to talk to you about. Next hour, I'm going to talk to you about the unintended consequences of this email, because I am willing to take Donald Trump and Donald Jr., and I'm willing to say, okay, they had nothing to do with it. There was no collusion. There was this, that woman had absolutely nothing to say. But I'm going to paint a realistic scenario of what did happen, that they were played. And because Donald Trump was willing to take that meeting, what that now means to us in our country today and our children, and we have to be aware of it. and at least look at it and discuss it before we move forward. And now this, a message from CarShield. Driving season is full swing. Did you guys take vacations? Stu, you're younger than I am. How old are you? 34?
No.
5? 8?
41?
34?
No, you were like, I would have met you like at
7 years old. No, I'm 40.
Are you in your 40s?
Wow, are you in your 40s?
Wow.
What are you in your 400s? Wow.
No, that is, no, it just amazes me. I mean, when did we meet? You were 18, 19, 20?
Something 20. Something like that. Wow. I was, yeah, 20.
Holy cow, time flies. Oh. Anyway, did you take the vacations in the station wagon and stuff like that and drive around?
We did do, we never had a station wagon, but we did do one or two long trips to Florida in the car, and we all piled in. And
I saw a brand new station wagon. I was out in L.A. I saw a brand new station wagon on the highway. I hadn't seen a station wagon in years. It was like a Mercedes.
Oh, wow.
I think.
Yeah.
It was brand new, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, a station wagon? And there was some part of me that kind of pined for it.
Did it have wood paneling?
No.
But that's not a station wagon.
I know.
Wood paneling.
Well, we didn't have wood paneling. Ours was authentic vinyl wood paneling.
Ooh.
So anyway, you know, when you take your vacation, the road trip across the country, you're planning it, and right now it's really quite economical because of, unless you're going to California, because of the gas prices. However, you have a breakdown and that can ruin the entire vacation. Get extended coverage now from CarShield, because a new water pump is going to send you back $500, new air conditioner $1,500, new engine over $5,000. CarShield is the ultimate in extended vehicle service protection. Affordable protection that can save you thousands of dollars for covered repair. So if you're buying a used car, or your car is lapsing because you're going to keep it, which is really smart. I don't know why I've bought a new car every 3 years. But if you can hold on to your car, which is a smart thing to do, don't drive around rolling the dice. Get an extended vehicle service protection right now from CarShield. Sign up today and you're going to get the VIP treatment from CarShield's administrators, 24/7 roadside assistance, and a rental car while yours is in the shop. Call 1-800-CAR-61. Mention my name, Beck, and visit carshield.com. Use the promo code Beck and save 10%. That's carshield.com, promo code Beck. Deductible may apply. Carshield.com, promo code Beck.
Glenn Beck.
The fusion of entertainment. And enlightenment.
Cause we are one. The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, let's go to the phone. Let's go to Terry in North Carolina. Hello, Terry. Welcome.
Hey Glenn, how are you?
Very good.
I'm very confused and I'm hurt. Not like, you know, I broke my heart, hurt, but I secretly supported this guy. Okay. It was very tribal because of what he did to Barack Obama by saying he's not a citizen. It's probably the most hurtful thing anyone could have said about the first black president, that he's not even American. But besides that, I went with this guy because I'm in rural health care. That's my business. And he promised to support rural health care. And he will never get to support rural health care because of greed. And that's the bottom line, Glenn. Anyone can say what they want about was it right or wrong. This was simple greed. This is how they've operated.
Okay, Terry, because you're coming with some other things. And I want to try to keep you focused on just this. How does this affect you, and where are you standing on this?
It affects my pocketbook because he's never going to get the agenda that he ran on through because of this nonsense. You know, it's like everybody knows a dog that'll take a bone will bring a bone. And they were smart enough. Paul Manafort knew that this was a bad idea and said nothing. I can forgive Eric Trump because it is what it is. I can forgive Jared Kushner, but if you know the Kushner family, you know that is what it is. But Paul Manafort was there, and he knew that this was not what you really, this was not going to fly.
All right, Terry, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you for having a reasonable conversation. You're up next. I want to hear all points of view. Want to hear from you today. 888-727-BECK.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
David French from the National Review is on with us, coming up in about 35 minutes. Also, want to play some audio from Alan Dershowitz, who was very clear with me yesterday afternoon on the TV show. There's no crime here. There's no case here. There's zero case here. But what he had to say after that, and what he had to say, what Robbie George from Princeton, who is just one of the more ethical men I know, and a, would you even, I would put him in the William F. Buckley kind of brain crowd, if you will, for the conservative movement. He's very behind the scenes, but he is one of the real intellectual leaders of the conservative movement, and he had some real advice for us. And I believe Robbie George supported Donald Trump, did he not? Not sure. You'll have to look that up. But let's go to the phones. Ryan in Texas. Hello, Ryan. You're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hi, Glenn. How are you doing this morning?
Very good.
Well, the past 2 weeks, you've been soliciting our opinions, and you've been talking about, you know, the state of life in America, and you've been asking us how we feel. And a couple years ago, a friend turned me on to the book, The Fourth Turning, and I know you've read it as well.
Oh, yeah.
And last 2 weeks, man, you've been saying things that to me had been lining up. We're transitioning from the unraveling to the crisis. And during the unraveling, people lose trust in institutions. Mm-hmm. In the Clintons, it was the media, because immediately after the Clintons, you had Fox News just emerge on the media scene. And then now that we've got Trump, we started to lose faith in the presidency. And now we're losing faith in the truth as an institution.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, if Hillary had been elected, probably would have been the same outcome in terms of losing faith in the institution.
Oh, yeah.
And I would even go so far, Glenn, as to say that when you ask for people that don't have jerseys, the jersey is a symbol of the institution. And you're asking people to drop the institutional affiliation they have and come to you on core principles. And I would say that's probably the beginning, to tie it into tribal leadership. That's probably the beginning of how you get a collection of people to move from a type 1 to a type 2 to a type 3 tribe.
Ryan, you should be working for me right now. boy.
I'll get paid in sandwiches. Just don't put me near Jeffy.
Yeah, he'll steal all your sandwiches. You're exactly right, Ryan. You're exactly right. And we have to reweave the American story. The American story is what has always bound us together. And as I will show you later this fall, I hope, that story was really identified, and then decisions were made on how to tear it apart and destroy the foundation of every piece of our American story. We've got to find a group of people, and I don't care. I've always felt that at some point it's going to be me and about 10 people under a tree just talking about what those American principles were and relaunching weaving the fabric of America. We can do this. We just have to be very, very aware of the, as you say, the type one and type two of tribal stages. People are really suffering, and they are afraid, and they don't know where to go. And, you know, I listen to people on talk radio, and I listen to them on television. And when people say, oh, man, nobody cared about the uranium crisis. Nobody cared about you know, the documents that Hillary Clinton was using and that she was using to enrich herself. Nobody seemed to care. And man, it is so easy to get wrapped up in that, because I listen to that and I'm like, you're exactly right. I was watching the news yesterday and I'm listening to them and I had to fight hard. It constantly came up. Where were you when people had the IRS being used as a weapon? Where were you? Where were you when Lynch was on the tarmac? Where were you? But that doesn't do anything for us. We have to be really careful and remember what we say to our own children. And that is, I'm not talking about your sister right now. I'm talking about you. Believe me, I'll take care of your sister. We just have to be able to separate them and not conflate them. That's the real problem with truth right now, is we're conflating everything. We're putting everything together. And we have to learn to be able to separate. And that's really, really hard. Thank you for so much of the hard thinking that you've done, Ryan. Let me go to Cindy in Georgia. Hello, Cindy.
Hi, Cindy Shanahan from Columbus, Georgia.
Okay, great.
And I was telling them it physically affects me because since the beginning of the primaries through the election, there's an ebb and flow. And so you're in the voting booth and you're like, Hillary, Donald, oh, Hillary, Donald, oh my God. And so you pick one. And so the whole time you're watching everything, you're like, I really hope I did the right thing, but I'm not really sure, but I hope I did. And so during the ebb and flow, when it's looking good, like I did the right thing, I sleep pretty good. But I don't sleep good when it's not going in the direction that seems positive. And so I didn't sleep last night. And my stomach gets upset, and I can't eat right, and I'm worried. And I do care. I care a lot. I just wanted it to be better.
So where do you stand on this? When you were watching things last night, and you do care, and you don't want this scandal, and you don't want, where do you stand? We know what the press is going to do.
Well, I think we put our hope in a person, and we all know you shouldn't put your hope in men because they'll just disappoint you.
Right, women,
but you
too,
have to. Like, that's what our life is about. So you do, and then I just think, really, you want to know the truth? I think they're just all cut out of the same cloth. They're all the same people. They're all going to get their own results. And I guess we just implode and build again. I don't know.
Cindy, thank you so much for your phone call. Let me go to Lisa. Hello, Lisa. You're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. For me, it boils down to integrity. And, you know, I'm trying to teach my children that omission of the truth is the same as telling a lie. Lack of obedience is disobedience. And so, you know, I've really been trying to give the Trumps the benefit of the doubt, even though I didn't vote for him. I'm trying to get up every day, see the glasses half full, speak out to my own family when he's doing something right, and kind of bury the hatchet for how I felt during the primaries, because you just can't live.
Yeah.
You can't live that life of being negative all the time because it didn't go your way, and you've got to rebuild. But, you know, it's really difficult for, although I know we as parents are the primary educators and upholders of truth for our families, we appreciate the partnerships with the media, the government, the schools, and it's getting to the point where
a parent has no partnership.
Yeah, I mean, we're not partnering with anyone right now. Yeah. And my children are learning that between all of the, you know, the Trump stuff, the Hillary stuff, and even, you know, the Charlie Gard stuff going on, I mean, you can't trust your government to take care of you. You can't trust them to tell the truth. You can't trust the media. You don't know who you can even trust in written print, who to read. And so, You don't know if you can trust the university professors to teach them. So it's becoming very difficult to navigate how to raise children who are active in politics, active in their society and community. It's just becoming difficult. And it's an integrity thing for me. And I will go to my grave, you know, knowing that regardless of your religious beliefs, everyone has a moral compass. And it's just, it shouldn't be that difficult to discern this is right, this is wrong.
Lisa, thank you very much. Here's something that I've written up on my chalkboard in my office. Entertainment creates culture. Culture creates values. We have been talking about values. We have created, because of the rating system, we have created a news system that has become, for many, entertainment. Now, me, it makes me sick to my stomach. I think a lot of people are feeling that way now. Listening to this stuff is not fun. I mean, it used to be kind of fun, you know, where it wasn't life and death every day. It wasn't, you know, it was policies that, you know, we can argue back and forth and, yeah, it might affect you a little bit here, a little bit there. But now everything is so important. And it really is, you know, you look at the healthcare reform. That can mean the collapse of the country if we get it wrong. It could mean just the collapse of really great health care. It could mean that we save a lot of people. Just that is so important. And we're dealing with 1,000 of those. And I'm not exaggerating. I bet you if we spent the rest of today's show, tomorrow's show, and Friday's show, we could come up with 1,000 stories right now that we're all wrestling with that really, truly impact our life. It shouldn't be that way. It should not be that way. No president should have so much power that he makes us sick to our stomach. No president should have that. That when we're thinking about, you know, Barack Obama, we're like, oh my gosh, this could just change everything for my children. This could change everything for my business. I might lose my job because of this. That's not what the president should have. And we need to find our way back there. I really appreciate the way you feel. And I think we all feel this way. I think we all feel this way. So now we just have to navigate our way through these waters, because this isn't going away. This is going to be a fight. And I urge you to read the books, The Fourth Turning, that Ryan just said. Read The Righteous Mind. Read Tribal Leadership. Read those things. There's a great book about business called Friction. And some of these books that I'm recommending, you're going to have to just figure out how they fit into our society, but they're all about our society. You know, these books, Tribal Leadership and Friction, those are about business. But I'm telling you, it's about our life. You read Friction, and it's a business book about how to make your business successful now and how we're all in competition with Uber. But as you read that book, you're going to realize that's my whole life. That's everything in my life. That's the country. You read Tribal Leadership, and it talks about the different tribes, and a stage 5 tribe is a great tribe. That's like Google at the maximum velocity. That's like Apple at maximum velocity, where people are, the work in there going, this is incredible. I don't even know how we're getting this stuff done. And stage 1 and stage 2 is where we are as a country, which is suicidal. Stage 1 is suicide, violence, nothing means anything, overthrow the system, theft. And stage 2 is, I just got to fend for myself. Everybody is against me. The whole system is bad, but I'm not willing just to burn it all down. I'm just going to fend for myself. That's where we are. And there is a way out, but we have to start moving that direction. And it's not as hard as it seems right now. Once you understand where we are and the small steps that we have to take to get out, All right. Our sponsor this half hour is LifeLock. Recent FBI report says people across the country have lost over $1 billion in internet crimes and scams just in 2015. $1 billion to scams. Cybercrime is huge business, and it touches almost everybody. Somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds, and LifeLock is there to detect a wide range of identity thefts. If there is a problem with your identity, a U.S.-based identity restoration specialist is going to work to fix it. Now, nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But if you act right now, you'll get the added protection of Norton Security free for the first year when you bundle Norton and LifeLock memberships. This is great. You want to talk about cyber hacking? A lot of this is coming from Russia. And it is getting worse and worse and worse. Some of it now is coming from North Korea. You get Norton and LifeLock memberships for a limited time. You'll get a special 15% discount off the first year of your LifeLock membership. So call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com and use the promo code BECK15. Remember, it's BECK15, the 15% that you're going to save off of your first year of LifeLock. Terms do apply. 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com, promo code BECK15.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Jared in New York, we have less than a minute. Go ahead.
Honored to speak with all you guys. I've been a long-time listener.
Thank you.
I was telling the screener, basically, isn't this exactly what Trump spoke about in every single stop he made on the campaign trail, and that's drain the swamp? Wasn't the intention of going to the meeting to get what he got part of the swamp? Isn't it dirty politics? Isn't it everything that he ran for, what the whole movement behind him was, what the movement behind the left was, really, and the right in this election? And it happened to be, Donald Trump Jr., who is doing exactly what his father was so adamant about not doing.
Jared, thank you very much for the perspective. Your phone call coming up in just a second. And why this story should matter to you, one way or another, however you decide, why this matters to you, your children, and to the security of the United States. A perspective I haven't heard yet, coming up.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
CNBC is reporting today, quote, we're flowing toward the path. They are comparing the current period that we're in right now to the buildup toward the Great Depression and warning that there's a possibility that it is this fall that kicks this off. This is from CNBC yesterday. Good. We also want to give you a break and something. I mean, give you some really good news that we do have friends and allies. I don't know if you've heard about the Canadians, a Canadian court, giving a guy who was in Guantanamo for killing an American soldier. He sued the Canadian government. And he sued them because he didn't rescue them from Guantanamo. They actually had to pay him $10 million. When you hear this story, it is absolutely incredible, but I want to give you the good news. There's a group of Canadians that are so outraged by this that they are now, they did a GoFundMe page where they're trying to raise money for the American family as kind of almost an apology that we're sorry. We're really, really sorry that we did this in court. The Canadian people support the U.S. military. I think it's a fantastic story. And why you should care about the Donald Trump story. Where is this going next? What is it that, if you cut through all of it, that it really means? And could Donald Trump Jr. go to jail? Could this lead to impeachment? What is on the direct horizon? We're going to go to David French from National Review right now.
fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Rand Paul just announced that the GOP has decided to keep Obamacare. I mean, how are you going to get Obamacare through with any of this? And they weren't going that direction anyway. But we want to talk to David French from the National Review. He's a senior fellow. He's a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom, author of several books, and a graduate from Harvard Law School. So, David, I want to start there with what you know legally. Were any crimes committed at all?
It doesn't. There don't seem to be any crimes that have been committed. I mean, at least I haven't identified any yet. You know, there's been a word that's been thrown around a lot, and that's collusion. And collusion isn't really a legal term. It's more of a political term, and it means cooperation, I would say. It means participation. And it's obviously no one would want to see Americans cooperating with, participating with a hostile foreign power as it tries to influence an American election. And so calling something collusion without even regardless if it's illegal is still very damaging. It's still very, very problematic. But as of right now, if you look at the decision of Donald Trump Jr. to take that meeting with Jared Kushner, with Paul Manafort, that doesn't seem to be illegal. It still seems to be, but that doesn't mean it's not highly, highly problematic. And we can't say the definition of wrong, right and wrong is defined by what's legal or illegal.
Correct. And we don't have collusion per se, but we do have, just in the email at least, we do have the willingness to coordinate. When he wrote, hey, this is great, but it would be better if it was released maybe later this summer, that is the beginning of cooperation, is it not?
Well, right, absolutely. The way I phrased it is, it looks like based on the available evidence, what you had was like attempted collusion. If you had asked me a week ago, or if you told me a week ago that there exists an actual email sent to high-level Trump officials that says we're offering to provide the Trump campaign with official documents and information that would incriminate Hillary and her dealings with Russia and would be very useful to your father, and it's high-level and sensitive information, but is part of Russia and its government support for Mr. Trump, like that's actually in an email, and then a high-level Trump official, no less high-level than Trump's son, responds with, if that's what you say, I love it, I would have thought that's a bad House of Cards episode. That's just too on the nose.
I didn't think that there was collusion. I didn't think any of the, you would have said to me last week, if there was just emails between the Russians and the Trumps, I would have said no. I didn't believe any of this by any stretch of the imagination. And so now we get to the repeated lies. I think we counted 38 or 48 lies where they are saying none of this happened. One of those, which is stunning, and I'm trying to get the tape of it, is from Jake Tapper, where he had Donald Trump Jr. on at the time of the convention. And he said, you know, they're saying that the Russians are targeting Hillary Clinton in favor of your father. And the answer from Donald Trump Jr. is astounding now that you know what he knew, where he rolls his eyes and he says, this is just pathetic. They will say anything to win. I mean, where do you go with that, David?
Well, one of the things you do where you go with that is you don't believe a word they say anymore. And that's really, really important, because one of the major defenses that we heard yesterday was, okay, well, we took the meeting, but the meeting was nothing. Nothing happened. There was no collusion. They didn't offer us anything. We didn't give them anything. And, you know, that may well be true. That may well be true. It may well be that they took a meeting under false pretenses. But there's two things that flow from that. One, or really three things. One, it still doesn't mean that their intent wasn't terrible. As somebody said, if you're thinking you're buying drugs and they turn out to be fake drugs, that doesn't make you any better person.
Yeah, and you're not calling the police.
Right.
I've been ripped off.
Exactly. Right. And number two, it says, well, we don't need to believe a word that you say about what actually happened in the meeting, so that means independent investigation should continue. And number three, it should make us very, very, very curious about whether there's anything else here. There's no reason for us to believe that this is the last shoe to drop right now.
Well, especially since on Saturday, you know, 2 weeks ago, it was nothing. Then Saturday, it was a meeting about adoption. And then it was, oh, there's a little more. And then by Monday, it was the most amazing Hollywood-written email we've any of us have ever seen.
When I saw that email, I could not believe my eyes when I saw that email.
David, you have been watching the conservative movement for a long time, but you've been watching it now for the last 18 months. And I have to ask myself and you, all right, people are really hurting. They're really struggling. They don't believe the press. They don't believe in anything anymore. They reached out to Donald Trump because he spoke their language and said, look, I'm going to bring your jobs back. I'm going to help you with health care. Many people will look at this and say, this is a distraction and we have to stop it because we need to get the things done that he promised he was going to get done. What does this do to the conservative movement if we play this like the left played Bill Clinton in the 1990s?
Well, I think what happens is we become that which we despise. I remember the 1990s very, very vividly. I remember being appalled at the Democrats, not just that the Democrats were willing to excuse Bill Clinton, but the extent to which they would attack other people to cover for Bill Clinton and to distract from Bill Clinton. And you begin to see a lot of the same things happening in the, what we would still call the conservative movement, that not only are they excusing, they're attacking other people, sometimes unjustly, sometimes these other people do wrong things, but attacking other people to excuse Donald Trump. And then at the end of the day, you're looking at it, and yes, Donald Trump's done some good things. The Gorsuch nomination was very good. The Mattis nomination was very good. But on a lot of things on his agenda, he's not even moving in any direction on those particular things. And so you at the end of the day, you're going, well, I'm attacking him. I'm attacking on his behalf. I'm excusing things I never would have excused. I mean, could you imagine 2 years ago, Glenn, that there would be Republicans talking about a meeting like this with the intention of meeting with foes of the United States to influence an American election 2 years ago, saying, oh, that's not a big problem. Here's the real problem.
No, I could have imagined Hillary Clinton, honestly. I think so lowly of Hillary Clinton that I could.
Well, yes.
I could imagine that, but I couldn't imagine this with
from our side.
No. How serious is this, David? Where does this go?
That's a great question. I would say it's very serious. We don't know how serious it will get because we don't know what else is there. If there is no other shoe that drops in all of this, if this is the story, this is very, very serious, but it's not going to lead to, a change in the administration. It's not going to lead to impeachment, but it should be and should be deeply alarming and it should be deeply damaging. But we just don't know. I mean, we're at a point right now where, as Jonah Goldberg put it well, we know so little that we should trust no one and defend no one. Because there are so many facts that we don't know, we have to wait. We have to be patient, and I know that's really hard in the Twitter news cycle, but we really do have to be patient. There are actual, credible investigations ongoing, and what this has shown us is that these investigations aren't a quote-unquote witch hunt. For a while, and I was beginning to believe it. I was beginning to believe that the collusion narrative was utterly false, And now I'm seeing that maybe that's not right, and we need to really leave no stone unturned.
So I'm going to talk to the audience here in a few minutes about some of the things that I'm worried about. I mean, any time in American history that the United States government has become unstable, that's when our foes move. We are in a situation where one of our foes is Russia. I mean, we are entangled with Russia in North Korea. We're entangled with them over ISIS in the Middle East, in Europe. I mean, the president just gave a great speech about not having Europe not entangled with Russian oil. I am concerned about things like Kim Jong-il. Is there something on the horizon that we should watch for and be very careful and watch this administration and how they move, because we know that there might be some deep connections with Russia?
Well, you know, we just have to look at very carefully what's happening both in Europe and Ukraine, the Baltic states, and also Syria. You know, look, people don't realize what a flashpoint Syria is and what a flashpoint Syria could become, because we're moving towards a de facto partition of that country, where we're the guardian and protector of our allies, Russia's the guardian and protector of their allies, and our allies and their allies are often in direct military conflict with each other.
Yep.
And that's extremely volatile, and that requires a very steady hand at the wheel, or a steady hand at the, you know, at the helm of the ship of state. And this is something where, you know, things like this, where you're realizing, could there have been such inappropriate contacts behind the scenes that even today there might be some possibility that the Russians have leverage that they shouldn't have? That's where it gets very, very troubling, because this kind of news cycle, if there exists other contacts, this kind of news cycle can erupt again just at the whim of the Russian state. And that's what a lot of people don't realize when they say, oh, well, what's wrong with taking a meeting about opposition research? Well, what's wrong with it is that the person who meets with you, in this case, if they're agents of the Russian government, has the information that they met with you, they have the knowledge that they met with you, and they have the ability to deploy that knowledge at will to harm you, and that creates leverage. And that's just one of the problematic aspects of it, but it's a very problematic aspect when that leverage is on behalf of our chief geopolitical foe.
I have one more minute to answer this question. We're sitting here and looking at the House and the Senate. They're trying to get health care through, et cetera, et cetera. They're trying to get a bunch of judges through. What do our listeners need to do to have a chance of not losing the House in 2018? The way we react as the GOP, if we bury this, there is a lot of independents that will say, I want checks and balances on this guy.
Right.
More so than they already did. How should we be reacting now? What should we be saying?
I would say three words: do your jobs. And your jobs include getting through good legislation, because there's nothing that says that administration chaos can't mean that Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan can't put good legislation on the president's desk that could help Americans. And number two, do your job in holding this president accountable, because if you're seen entirely as carrying his water and any positive agenda is stalled while you're carrying his water, to say that that puts the House, makes the House vulnerable and the House majority vulnerable is an understatement.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think do your jobs is the message.
Great. Thank you very much. David French from the National Review. Good talking to you, David. Stay safe. Now this. Over 300 million civilian-owned guns are in America. Now, here's what's really interesting. As the number of guns in America has gone up, gun ownership, legal gun ownership, gone through the roof, gun crime has gone down. This is the point that Second Amendment supporters have been making for a very long time. We understand responsible gun ownership is the smart choice. Now, a bad guy comes into your house at night and you're protecting yourself from the bad guy. You pull out your gun. You even wave it his way, not even fire it. Police are called. They come. He says, he was waving a gun at me. He was brandishing a firearm. You're going to go to court. If you have to, God forbid, shoot, you're going to court. And the next 3 years of your life are in hell. The guy with the mask is replaced with a guy with a briefcase. The attorneys come in. Who's protecting the protector? That's the USCCA. Protectanddefend.com. You need to have somebody behind you before, during, and after you have some sort of altercation. The idea that you're going to put in a homeowner's claim is 1 in 900. The odds that you're going to need a self-defense insurance, 1 in 1700. You have a homeowner's policy. Why wouldn't you have self-defense policy? Get it now from the USCCA, protectanddefend.com. Protectanddefend.com. True member stories. Hear how the USCCA helped other responsible gun owners just like you. Protectanddefend.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
So glad that you have tuned in. I would like to hear what you're thinking, what you're feeling. I would love to hear advice for Donald Trump. What if you were giving advice to Donald Trump, what would the advice be?
Me?
Maybe not you. Maybe not you. I kind of do want to hear your advice. Go ahead.
Resign.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let's say you want the president to succeed.
I do want him to succeed. Yeah. I do. I'm just kidding. I do want him to succeed.
So
it's hard because
that sounded genuine, didn't it?
I do because it's good for the country. Yeah. If the president succeeds, the country succeeds. I absolutely want him to.
Here's my concern. We have to have law and order, and I don't want to teach my kids something that leads to more chaos.
Well,
we did in the 1990s.
This is the problem that we had during the campaign, right? We were kind of trying to stick to principles. We believed certain things, and so we didn't support him. You've got your children to consider. We've got the next generation that we're teaching, and we're teaching them that lying about these things is
not
is
yet.
Okay.
Not yet. We haven't yet. Let's see see how we all react to it. But I'd love to hear how you think we all should react to this, what you think the president should do, how you're feeling about this.
It's kind of interesting because you never would have guessed that Republicans would be supportive of meeting with Russian agents and then lying about it afterwards. Would you ever thought
of Republicans? Well, I don't think people are. I mean, I'd like to see a poll. I don't know. I saw a lot of conservatives yesterday, a lot of conservatives say, wait a minute.
That's true.
There's a fork in the road here, mm-hmm. and we are at a fork in the road.
We
still support the president, but what do we do with this when we come back?
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Let's go to Bill in Ohio, 888-727-BECK. Really want to hear your voice today and what you're feeling. Bill, go ahead.
Hey, Glenn, I knew we were in trouble years ago when the whole Clinton-Monica Lewinsky thing was accepted by the media. And having served under Reagan, Bush 41, Clinton, Bush 43,
wow.
and lastly with President Obama, we kick folks out of the service for what President Clinton did, and the fact that Bush 41 kind of helped him revitalize his reputation, that was a mistake. I agree with you that Hillary would have been a hero if she packed her bags and put them out on the front lawn, but the fact that all that was accepted it tore me up inside. I'm married 27 years, I'm a flawed man, but this is the last thing on my mind that, I would ever do to my wife.
And to take it away from the personal and look at what we're facing then and what we may be facing now, to have the argument at the time in the 90s of this lie doesn't matter because it was only about sex. And when I said I did not have sex with that woman, that means that sex is not is not oral sex. That changed our children. Whether or not you grew up in a household that was arguing one side or another, a new study came out around 2010. 80% of kids don't think oral sex is even sex. Well, that is a direct, there's a direct correlation to the Clinton administration. I believe not correlation, but causation of that argument. So what are the arguments that we're now going into? That's why I don't want to engage in arguments right now. We ought to think this through. What are we going to teach the next generation? Because if we lose our children, if our children aren't solid, if our children aren't solid that you don't mess with enemies of the state, if they're not clear who our enemies are and that you don't collude or even, you know, there's no reason to take information from people that wish your country ill, I'm afraid that we're going to cause much deeper problems 10 years from now.
And that's even been blurred in the last, you know, 20 years.
Look at our enemies. Look at this. Look at the blurring of the line of who's good and who's bad in just the last year. FBI, CIA, and NSA. Now, we've already started blurring the line because they were violating the Fourth Amendment. And they're violating it by spying on us. So the NSA was already pretty bad. The CIA was starting to be bad because of everything, the intel in Iraq. The FBI was pretty clean until Barack Obama, and all of a sudden the FBI becomes, you know, something where we can smuggle guns across the border.
And even the Secret Service, remember their problems.
Right. So we don't have belief in those agencies. In the last year, our president has said he believes his information about Russia more than these three organizations and their information on Russia. And he's been saying the same thing that the Clintons were saying. Russia's good. They're not good. They're not. And we're doing more damage to ourselves and to our children on, you know, when Donald Trump said, hey, the United States is no better than Russia. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Let's not forget who Putin is. Putin is a stone cold killer. He is not the president of the United States, not even the worst president of the United States. Bill, thank you so much for your call. Let me go to Brenda in California. Hello, Brenda.
Hi there. I simply thought that Donald Jr. was a lot smarter than that. And I'm pretty disappointed. I was a Trump voter. I was all in for Ted Cruz. And I went to go vote, and I almost wrote an Evan McMullen, but I panicked at the thought of Hillary Clinton becoming the president.
I know.
I have six young children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm in California, in one of the last conservative pockets of California. So I feel like we're being squeezed in a vice as it is.
Oh, yeah.
And this just feeds the fire, really. You know, we have these debates even in our newspaper with people being angry and blaming Trump voters and working on forgiving us. And I have a hard time justifying this one. The part that I can't rationalize, I get the fact, oh, that's great, you've got information, I love it. But when you specifically say this summer sometime, or however he worded it, I can't really rationalize that.
No, and you know, I can't even go to accepting the meeting unless, I mean, if it was me, I would say, you know, call the FBI, do a sting operation here. We can't have the Russians hacking. Now, at the time, though, here's what's really interesting. Pat, do you have the speech that Trump gave 5 hours later?
I don't.
Yeah, we put it in earlier.
Yeah, okay. Were you talking about Hillary?
Yeah, I want you to listen to this. Now, Brenda, thanks for your call. I want you to hear. I really believe that I'm going to take Donald Trump Jr., you know, at his word. I do not believe him because he's lied to us for a year. But I'm just going to take him at his word and say nothing happened. This, if you do that and you read that email, it doesn't say that they were hacking. It doesn't say any of that. It said that they had information on Hillary Clinton's dealings in Russia. Now, what does that make you think of? That makes me think of the Iranian deal, uranium deal, where, remember, Hillary Clinton just signed over all our uranium? Well, okay, that's a big scandal. So this meeting happens. Few days before, they get a note that says, hey, as part of the ongoing Russian government support for your father, we have documents and things about Hillary Clinton's dealings with Russia that will be very, very good for your dad. All right. You go in and you tell dad, I think we're going to have some good things coming our way. You immediately think, because it's Russian dealings, oh my gosh, they're going to give us the stuff on the uranium. 5 hours after the meeting, Donald Trump holds a press conference where he says this.
Secretary Clinton even did all of the work on a totally illegal private server. Something that how she's getting away with this, folks, nobody understands. Designed to keep her corrupt dealings out of the public record, putting the security of the entire country at risk, and a president in a corrupt system is totally protecting her. Not right. I am going to give a major speech on probably Monday of next week, and we're going to be discussing all of the things that have taken place with the Clintons. I think you're going to find it very informative and very, very interesting.
Now listen.
Hillary Clinton turned the State Department into her private hedge fund. The Russians, the Saudis, the Chinese all gave money to Bill and Hillary and got favorable treatment in return.
So when he's saying this, she turns it into the Russians. Kushner's wife, Ivanka, turns and looks at Eric and smiles. Now, could be nothing. Jared. Looks at Jared and smiles. Could be nothing. But remember, 5 hours before, they were in a meeting that was supposedly... Go ahead, Stu.
I believe that 5 hours before, they confirmed the meeting was going to happen about the information. It had not occurred yet.
Right.
So okay. Remember, when the meeting occurred,
they were speculating on what they were going to get.
So 2 days later, the meeting happens. You're right. It's 5 hours after they confirm the meeting that it's happening. So he says he's gearing up. I'm going to do a big speech, probably in the next couple of days, where I'm going to lay all of her stuff out. He's just gotten the email that says, we have all this information. We're going to give it to you about the dealings. And he talks about the uranium. Now, let's just take Donald Trump Jr. at his word and say, forget about the lying, forget about everything, forget about all of that. The reason why this is dangerous is because we now, as people, have to be loyal. We have to figure out where our loyalty goes. Where does our loyalty go? Our loyalty has to go to our vision of America, our children, and to our nation's security. Here's the problem. Let's say Donald Trump knew nothing, and all that Donald J. Trump Jr. knew was that they did try to contact, and they said they had all of this information. Then we know that Russia, through WikiLeaks, dumped all the information. Then they dumped all the DNC. We know that the FBI and the CIA all say that that was Russia that did it. Donald Jr. knows that, at least in this email, I didn't get anything from that meeting, but at least in this email, they are saying that they have government support for us. Dad, I have to tell you, I didn't tell you this before, but this email, they said that they were supporting us. All right, well, let's not bring that up now. We're in the middle of an election. Okay. When Dad starts to talk about the FBI and the CIA and I have better intelligence, we've all asked, what intelligence? Was it Russian intelligence? We don't know. Was it nothing? Probably. I think when Donald Trump says, I have better intelligence, he doesn't have anything. It's just the way he speaks. But does not Donald Jr. come to him and go, Dad, remember I told you and you wanted me to hold off telling you stuff. Okay, I have to tell you now. I believe the FBI is right. There's no collusion here because we didn't get anything. But you need to say, hey, this happened. And if you don't say that, fine. Okay, I'll even give you that one. But you don't go on and say Russia is clean and the FBI is wrong. More importantly, you don't go and meet with Putin and say, we should team up on cybersecurity. This is really bad. And so we don't know, because of this, we don't know what, we know that Donald J. Trump Jr. should have told his father, assuming that he didn't. The second thing is, I believe that the woman coming in, she could have just said, by the way, thanks for your time. I just want to read poetry to you. Let me just read poetry to you. What the hell? It doesn't even make any sense. You said you had these. Oh, I just want to talk to you about adoption and poetry. Get the hell out. Russia wins because they now have, they've done the damage to the DNC and Hillary. They've done now the damage. They have blackmail points on Donald J. Jr. They know what that means. You met with somebody after receiving an piece of information that says, we're doing a big campaign for you, which we weren't, but it doesn't even matter because you took the meeting and said, wow, that's great. We now have a blackmail point on you.
Be nice to us or we can leak that at any time.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And let's say they made a deal and they're like, okay, well, no, we're cool. We're cool. The problem with this is we're now trying to take the advice of this woman who was in the meeting and saying, no, she says she's not a KGB agent. It doesn't matter. Even with no blackmail, we now have put the president in question. We don't know if we should believe him. His own supporters are starting to wonder if they should believe him. And we really can't tell. We don't believe the press. The press doesn't believe the president. We don't believe the press. Who wins? Russia. Russia's the only one that everybody's looking at on both sides and saying, well, we can believe her, right? No, we can't. Sponsor this half hour is ZipRecruiter. Their technology matches the right people to your job. Who you hire says everything about your company. Other job sites depend on candidates finding you, but with ZipRecruiter, it finds the right candidate. With one click, you can post your job to over 100+ job sites, and over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. There's no juggling the emails or calls to your office. You just screen, rate, and manage the candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. So these aren't just people who are responding directly to you. ZipRecruiter goes out and looks for those people that fit the qualifications and the kind of person that you're looking for. Right now, you can post at ZipRecruiter.com for free. Got a small business? Do what the big boys do. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. Try it out for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK. So we're looking for some other interesting angles on this with Trey Gowdy. It was quite good. We didn't play Alan Dershowitz, who defended Donald Trump and Donald Jr. from crime. He's like, this is not a crime. He said it could be impeachable because that's just whatever anybody in the Senate wants. That's more political crime.
Yeah, right. But David French said the same thing.
Yeah, not a crime. Mm-hmm. Not a crime. Mm-hmm. I really want to hear from you today. I want to hear how you're feeling. I want to hear what you're thinking. I want to know, how do we teach our children? Our children are going to learn from us. They're going to learn from us by watching us, and they've learned a lot already. But now we're into something where we have lies involved, just like we did with Clinton, and all of the untold consequences that happened because of the Clintons back in the 90s. Play this out in 10 years. We don't want to sell our moral story out. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Glenn Beck.
Mercury.
I'm going to tell you about Upside.com. It's where you can go to save big money on business travel. And you're also going to get a gift card for yourself. So you get to save your company some money, and then you get a nice gift card to spend on stuff for yourself. How could it be better? They also give you these options, which are really cool. Hey, we see you book this flight. If you leave an hour later or an hour earlier, we can save you even more money and give you an even bigger gift card. Wouldn't that be great? And you can choose whether you want that or not. You're going to save money right off the bat, and then you can save even more if you want. Upside is the real deal. Go to Upside.com right now. When you use promo code BECK, you're guaranteed to get at least a $100 Amazon gift card your first trip. That's code BECK to get a $100 gift card free. We've been saving money around here for a while with this. You need to as well. Save big on travel and get a big gift card every trip. See what your next trip's worth today. Upside.com. Upside.com. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details. It's Upside.com.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Would you like to take a break from the Donald Trump stuff? And here's something that is even more outrageous. However, has a good ending, has a good story. You won't feel so alone. There is a story about a guy who was a Canadian-born Al-Qaeda militant who killed one of our soldiers and blinded another, who just got a $10 million payment from the Canadian courts. This is such an outrageous story. However, there is such a great, ending, but a new chapter to this story that you are going to love. We're going to start there right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Cause we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Cause we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
We have a Canadian journalist and broadcaster, Brian Lilly, who was on yesterday with Pat and Stu and also Michael Opelka on the Blaze Radio Network, and took us through this story. And I want you to hear it. Brian, welcome to the program. How are you?
Great, Glenn, and great to talk to you guys any chance I get, but especially on this, where you guys are allowing me to reach out to people and say, look, you're angry. Let's do something good with it.
Okay, so this is a fantastic story. Take us down and tell us the story of this Canadian-born Al-Qaeda member.
Yeah, and just off the top, just to make you more angry, I'll just say that you're falling for the same line that a lot of Canadians are falling for and thinking the courts ordered this settlement. This was a negotiated settlement with Justin, I've got great hair and socks, Trudeau. Our beloved Prime Minister, he is actually the one that has decided that this goes forward. But to give you the background, Omar Khadr was born in Toronto back in 1986, I think it was. Mostly raised in Pakistan and Afghanistan because his parents didn't think the West was a good influence on him and thought that guys like Osama bin Laden were nicer folks and better influences. He literally lived in Osama bin Laden's compound for a while. His dad was tight with the Al-Qaeda boss, was one of the financiers to help put together the money for the 9/11 attacks.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
His
father was. But all the boys at one point or another took up the jihad. And so Omar Khadr's 15, 2002, July, he ends up in this compound, 4 to 5 hour firefight with the Delta Force that was trying to take it. So, I mean, they gave as good as they, if you're taking on Delta Force, you are obviously you've got some skill as soldiers. So he's in there. The firefight's over. Sergeant Christopher Spears, Sergeant Lane Morris, and others go in looking for survivors, looking to tend to the wounded. It's what you do after a battle. Omar Khadr throws a grenade that kills Sergeant First Class Christopher Spear and takes the eyesight, and I believe it's the left eye, of Sergeant Lane Morris. American medics then make sure that Omar Khadr, who was about to bleed out, survives and is given medical treatment. Christopher Spear never gets the same medical treatment, but he doesn't survive. Omar Khadr does. He's shipped off to Gitmo, spends a bunch of years there, admits to, in a plea deal before the courts, he was facing charges. He said, I'll take a plea deal. Admits that he was aiding and abetting a terrorist organization. Admits he violated the rules of laws of war. Admits he killed Christopher Spear. And agrees to serve time in jail. Gets transferred back to Canada because Obama wanted him gone and put a lot of pressure on our previous prime minister, the sensible guy, Stephen Harper. Harper eventually says, yeah, we'll take him back after a lot of fighting. And then a Canadian court pretty much almost immediately orders him released. And he sues the Canadian government for $20 million. They decide that they're going to settle for $10.5 million for violating his rights while he's at Gitmo.
How did they violate his rights? How did the Canadian government violate?
Did dogs bark near him?
Oh. No, but they okay, did talk good. To him.
Dogs talk to him?
Yeah, because he was in American custody, right?
But they didn't shine any bright lights in his eyes. Tell me that didn't happen.
No, seriously, what did he claim the Canadian government did?
Well, because he was in American custody at Gitmo, and he was part of it, he did not face waterboarding, he didn't have jumper cables attached to his junk and, you know, electricity sent through, but he was part of what was called the frequent flyer program. Now, there's a lot of argument about whether that constitutes torture. Our courts have never said that. It's enhanced interrogation.
I don't know what the frequent flyer program is.
Oh, frequent flyer program. Sorry, that's where they wake you up every few hours and don't let you get a good night's sleep.
Oh, my gosh, no.
You don't get your sleep number bed or your Casper bed or anything like that. You just get crappy sleep. And, you know, this is something that people have been through the military have experienced, new parents, college students, they've all experienced this. Sure, yeah, you're not feeling great, but it's not torture. Michael Ignatieff, who used to be an academic before becoming a politician, he'd written about this in early 2000s, that this is just enhanced interrogation. It is not torture. Our courts never found it torture. But because Canadian officials went down to Gitmo and interviewed him after he had his sleep messed up, they said, well, that's a violation of his rights. But they never said you've got to pay him. They just said this was part of a previous court action where he wanted to be repatriated from Gitmo to Canada to spend time in a Canadian jail. They just said, you go and talk to the Americans and figure something out to make it right. That's all. They never said pay him, but now they've given him $10.5 million. And the kicker, Justin Trudeau and his government worked with Khadr's lawyers to speed up the payment, to keep it out of the public eye, so that it could be shielded from a court action launched by the widow of Christopher Spear.
Oh my gosh. That's unbelievable.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, this is one of the most incredible stories of all time.
So where is he now? What's he going to, can he take that money and take it out of Canada? Are we tracing the money? A guy who doesn't seem to be remorseful.
There's speculation that because he got the money before the public knew, before the government would confirm anything to the public, there's speculation that it's already either in a trust designed to protect it against a lawsuit, or in a corporation, or offshore. It could be in the Bahamas somewhere.
It could be in Pakistan.
It could be. I mean, we've heard the story. The British government paid off one of their former Gitmo guys with millions and millions of pounds. And what did he do? He used the money to turn around and fund ISIS and then went off and joined the jihad. Thankfully, he recently died on the battlefield. He says, Omar Khadr says he's not going to do that, but he's sitting on a ton of money. Tabitha Spear and her two kids, Taryn and Tanner, they get bupkis from this. And I just don't think that's right. And that's why I launched the campaign spearkids.com. SPEERKids.com to try and show, look, not everybody's on board with this. We set a goal of $1 million. It's an ambitious goal, but I think it could be done. And right now
you're a Canadian. You're a Canadian.
Yep.
And so this $100,000 has come primarily, is that what you've raised so far, about $100,000?
Mm-hmm.
And that's come primarily from Canada, right?
Yes, it has.
Okay.
And think about that for a moment here. This is, Brian's a Canadian broadcaster, someone who was born in Canada, then went and killed an American military member.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian is raising money for the American family right now. I mean, you know, that is it's a pretty impressive thing here, Brian, that you're doing. And it's important because, I mean, this is one of the most outrageous stories I've ever heard in my entire life. The man killed somebody. He's a terrorist. He's admitted to these terrible things. He's now no longer, not only just, if he was just released and that was the end of the story, it would be insane. Instead, the man is becoming a multimillionaire because of this. It's incredible.
And we're only 11% of the way there, so... go to spearkids.com and contribute to this.
Yeah, most of it's coming in from small donations. We've got a few big donors, but, you know, I keep saying, even, you know, you do these fundraising campaigns for various things, and people say, well, I'm not well off. You know what? Even $10, enough people give $10, it's there. If you got deeper pockets, you know your situation, and you can give $10,000, then, hey, great, I'm not going to say no.
Yeah,
But
it really is. We've done remarkable things with $10 donations. This audience is the most giving audience, I really believe, ever in radio.
I know your audience, Glenn, because I am your audience. I'm part of it. And so I hear the enthusiasm and the love that comes out of you and the boys and the audience. And that's why I'm so grateful for you to give me this opportunity to ask people to join this campaign. Canadians and Americans have fought side by side in war after war. We were side by side in Afghanistan, and Chris Spear was part of the Delta Force, an American Special Forces unit. A little bit of history for you: the very first Special Forces unit in the world was a joint Canadian-American operation in the First World War. We even had our own units together, so we're brothers in arms here. And so, join me in the campaign for the Spear Kids, please.
And I, real quick, I don't mean to call you out here, Brian, but you've, I think, left out something important. Yes, he was a terrorist. Yes, he killed somebody. Yes, you're raising money for this family, and that's all great. But what you've neglected to mention is the terrorist now wants to become a nurse, and that may warm the hearts a little bit.
Can you imagine the good he could do?
I mean, can you imagine if you go in and you're getting surgery?
As a multi-million millionaire nurse, he could do so much good.
I am just aghast at the thought of being in a hospital bed one day and that man walks in to look after whatever is wrong with me.
Oh, I'm sure you'd get the best of treatment. All right, Brian.
Most of the media up here is behind him, and that's the scary part.
That's
behind him. They're defending the government. But a new poll out just 2 days ago shows 71% of Canadians are outraged by this. They hate it. So,
of course.
You know, normal people know this is wrong, and they don't want Omar Khadr giving them a
look.
Sponge.
We are
outraged.
We're very different countries, but we are not that different as people. Canada has always been close, and we've always been close to Canada. You know, except for the times that we had to kick your ass. but we've always been close, and it means a lot to Americans to have a Canadian start this, and we hope that more Canadians involve themselves in this, even $5 a time, and us as well. If you'd like to help, go to spearkids.com. That's spearkids.com. Thank you, Brian. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
You bet. Keep us up to date on that, Stu. Will you follow that story?
Yeah, definitely.
Make sure we know what he's doing and how it's going. Feels good to know that 71% of Canadians are offended by that.
Yeah, what's up with 29%?
I wonder if 71% of Americans would be upset by that if we paid.
I would hope it'd be higher than that.
I would hope so too, but would it?
I don't know.
Would it be as high if that had happened to a Canadian soldier? I know we would be the first to say we have got to raise family money for this family in Canada. But would it be the same? Would enough? Would people feel that way?
I don't know.
A sponsor of this half hour is Simply Safe. Rest easy at night knowing that your home and your family is protected with Simply Safe. When you install Simply Safe, the home security system, you are arming your home with powerful sensors. You have sensors that will tell you if the door is open, if the window breaks, if anything is shattered. Somebody breaks the window in your kitchen and reaches through to open up the door. Somebody breaks a window, open up a window. The alarms go off. And you don't have to have them all wired. There is no wiring with Simply Safe. You also have high definition cameras. You know, I love these cameras that are over convenience stores and whatever. And you're like, okay, so this is what the guy looks like, kind of. I mean, if you squint really hard, you're like, okay, I'm trying to make you blurry by squinting really hard. Yeah, you kind of look like that guy. This is a high definition security camera with security for you and the family. It closes until the alarms go off. Then it's triggered and the lens opens up. Only from Simply Safe. They are a great company. You're going to save a lot of money right now. They're having their biggest summer sale ever. And you'll get $100 off the exclusive summer package for a limited time only. Save a buttload of money. SimplySafeBeck.com. Go there now. Round-the-clock monitoring is only $14.99 a month, and you own the system. SimplySafeBeck.com. Save $100 right now. SimplySafeBeck.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
We go to Travis in Idaho. Hello, Travis. You're on the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, Glenn. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'll get right to the point. First of all, my wife and I love you. I've been listening since you put together a time capsule for Rafe many years ago.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for all you do.
Wonder where that time capsule is now. All right, go ahead.
I know it's a very controversial stand, but... we love all three of you, including Jesse.
Whoa.
Wait.
Oh, wow. You just lost all credibility. All credibility went out the door.
But there's four of us here. I don't understand.
What'd you say? So go ahead.
John Adams stated that our Constitution was designed for moral and religious people and wholly inadequate to the governing of any other. And... you know, our society has gotten or is past the tipping point where probably more than half of us are no longer that moral and religious people. And I don't think the question is any longer who we can send to Washington or how much we spend on elections, but rather how do we help our people return to being that moral and religious people. Ezra Taft Benson stated in 1987, that there would be a staff upon which the nation might lean in time of great peril. And I think that that staff is something that needs to happen intentionally, and it is my life's work to pursue that and to bring together people for that. He also stated that through members of the church, and I believe that, as you've stated many times, your audience, that the righteous of the nation will be gathered together to defend that Constitution.
Well, I'm hoping, Travis, that the gathering of the righteous to defend the Constitution doesn't actually have to go into a hot war, but into gathering together of our minds and our our children's,
standing up for it.
Yeah, thank you, Travis, for your call. I really no. Go ahead.
Well, I believe much of that has to do with the coming together of churches, regardless of denomination.
Yep.
And standing together as one Christian body.
Yep, I agree.
And affecting our nation from the bottom up, not from the top down. Otherwise,
Yeah, nothing is going to work. I don't think anything's going to work from the top down anymore. Just everything has changed so much. Travis, thanks for your phone call. And by the way, I'm assuming Travis is not talking about some one, you know, world religion when he says, bringing all of our faiths together. That's just all of us standing together, each with our own faith. Joe in New York. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi. Yeah, I think Trump is going to be a one-term president by his own choosing.
Why do you say that?
In the past, he's come out and said that his old job was more fun than his current job. So,
you know, maybe, Joe, I will tell you, to walk away from the presidency, I think would be very, very difficult. Thanks, Joe.
I mean, he's already held fundraisers, right?
Let me go. Yeah, could that kill you yesterday, hearing that? That fundraisers were going on yesterday? Kirk in Indiana. Hello, Kirk.
Hey, Glenn. You know, I didn't vote for Trump. I actually voted for the guy out in Utah. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Trump supporter, and I am so tired of hearing about Trump, about Trump's family, about what they do. I don't care. Hey, I don't care.
Okay, I got it. I wanted to talk to people who weren't wearing team jerseys, and you do sound like you're wearing a team jersey here.
Oh, no. What I want to hear about are the 50 idiots in the Senate who can't get their head unstuck mm-hmm. to get something done. Mm-hmm. The 120 people who are in the House who can't seem to figure out that people want them out of their back pocket. Let's get taxes done.
Kirk, I have to tell you, we're going to go there next, because this is going to make your head explode. Rand Paul just came out and said, they're just going to leave Obamacare alone. They're just going to stop trying to repeal Obamacare. That's next.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Which book are you talking about?
Stop assigning people books.
You should have to assign people books.
That is not a question that is normal.
What book are you talking about?
Well, you've assigned 65. No wonder you can't keep track of them.
Well, Stu? It's just
66.
Okay, 66. No, come on. Seriously. I have not assigned you guys 66 books. How many books, honestly?
I mean,
37. It's only 37.
You've added.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah, you've added quite a bit lately. Yeah,
no. I think we're actually
there
eight.
There were five.
There's eight. There were five initial. Initially, there were five. Now there's been three more.
Eight. Yeah, we're at seven or eight.
I think we're at eight.
You gave us five, and then you assigned the rest of the company four, which we got screwed on that deal totally.
Yeah, that's right.
We had to read an extra book. Did you see the
story? The job that comes with a syllabus.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this. You want to talk about extra books? The one I'm reading a story in the New York Post.
Oh, from this weekend.
This evil right-wing publication, the New York Post. And they say what the brightest minds are reading this summer, which for some reason they've included you,
when did this start?
I don't know why.
You're being called one of the brightest minds.
Yeah. Do you see the picture? There was me. Who was it? It was me, the head of Citibank, and somebody else.
J.P.
Yeah.
Morgan chief Jamie Dimon. Yeah.
Jamie Dimon.
Yeah. Jamie Dimon and some other Wall Street guy. And the headline said, some of the brightest minds are reading this summer. And my picture is between those two. And I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah. I think those two should belong in jail.
Helpful. Anyway. Glenn Beck, the conservative media host who has some diverse selections this season, including The Righteous Mind, why good people are divided by politics and religion.
Which you guys read.
That was on the list. You guys loved, right?
Yeah, I like that one. Yes. And we've had him on before. He's really smart.
Yes.
On the flip side, Beck is also reading Bob Dylan, A Spiritual Life,
which
by Scott Marshall.
This is really, I have to be honest with you, it's on the stack of books. I'm trying to read a couple of other books. I'm trying to get through The Content Trap, and I just finished Authenticity, which is really good. Finished that this weekend.
Did you say eight?
Didn't assign that. That's on the list of, you guys might want to read that. Mm-hmm.
Content Trap was part of the mandate.
No, that's part of the new mandate.
The new mandate.
Yeah, I gave that to you a couple days ago.
Yes.
I know it's hard for you, Jeffy, that reads comic books, but everybody else.
Yeah, and there's very few pictures in most of these books.
Oh, man.
It's really sad. Is Friction not one of the best written books ever?
I really loved it.
I like Friction.
It's really good.
I like Friction a lot.
It was fun to read.
Yeah.
I mean,
reminded me of the way we've formatted books before.
Yeah.
You know, like
arguing with the whole thing is about how your life is just full of friction and reduce the friction. Yes. In your life, in your customer's life, and everything else, but you read it, and it's just brilliant, especially you get to the end of the book, at least I did, and I finished it in like 2 hours. How long did it take you guys to read it?
A week.
A couple hours?
A week and a half.
Didn't. Seriously. It's a really easy book. It's like
it's
300.
A few days.
It's 300 pages, but you can zip through that book. Mm-hmm. And when you get to the end of it, did you realize, oh my gosh, they used that theory in writing this book.
Right, they used it on me.
Yeah.
Because you read it and you're like, this is great. I love this. It's so easy to read.
It's like the old Don LaPree philosophy. You can make $100 million by some tiny classified ads
apartment. This one actually works.
But the problem with it was he was just using that theory on you. He was placing an ad to get you to buy nonsensical information.
Yes.
So that you would spend your money with him. He was using the thing he was teaching you to make his money.
So it's almost
the book was just an attempt to utilize the philosophy he was teaching you.
His
own one bedroom apartment.
Wait a minute.
It's almost as if someone is.
You guys should read The Overton Window.
Oh, well,
The Overton Window 2.
Really?
Common Sense.
Well, it's funny.
Arguing with Idiots.
It's funny you bring that up because I was on Amazon looking at one of these books, Friction, I guess, and they have Frequently Bought Together. So, again, telling me this audience does not, because conservatives don't read. Yeah. They don't read. They just don't read. Frequently Bought Together, Friction. Tribal Leadership,
which is the other book on the list.
Another one on the list. And The Righteous Mind by Jonathan Haidt.
Another one on the list.
Then it goes down and says, customers who bought this item also bought Tribal Leadership on the list. Mm-hmm. Mistakes Were Made, But Not by Me.
On the list.
The Righteous Mind by Jonathan Haidt on the list. Another version of Tribal Leadership. Then Fed Up, An Insider's Take on Why the Federal Reserve is Bad for America by Daniel DiMartino Booth.
A guest on our show.
Tribes by Seth Godin, which is also on the list. Another version of The Righteous Mind. Then Rediscovering Americanism and the Tyranny of Progressivism by Mark Levin on the list. Written Out of History by Senator Mike Lee on the list. Another version of Mistakes Were Made But Not by Me. Then Defying Hitler, another book you've talked about. Brad Thor, Use of Force. Homo Deus, A Brief History of Tomorrow.
Guest on
Pendulum,
the show.
Another one you've talked about. And actually had a caller about earlier today. Ben Sasse, The Vanishing American Adult is on there.
Unbelievable.
The this Little Things by Andy Andrews. Deep Undercover by Jack Barsky, another guy who's been on the program.
Oh, my gosh.
David Limbaugh, The True Jesus. The Coming Insurrection.
Yeah, we had David on.
The Coming Insurrection is on there. Only this audience knows about The Coming Insurrection.
Michael Vay by Richard Paul Evans is on here.
Only this audience.
And only until we get there do we get Glenn Beck Liars, which is actually your book. You keep telling people to read so many books, no one reads your books.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. Everybody it just, is. You know, Bruce Feiler's on here. We've talked about before. The Tom Coburn book we've talked about before is on here. The Pope and the President, which is a great one from Paul Kangor.
The Tom Coburn book, we had him on for that, right? He didn't even know it was in his own book.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Right. That was a fun interview.
That was a bizarre interview.
That was a little difficult.
Hey, Tom, so tell me about, it's in the book.
Did I write about that? I've never heard of that.
And then about a page to like 10 of this is The Content Trap, the book you just mentioned 10 seconds ago.
That's great.
Unbelievable.
It really is ridiculous.
There.
Yeah.
You know, it should be there.
So what year?
Is the massive global warming warning from David Wallace Wells.
Hang on, may I just say?
Yes.
So go to Friction on Amazon, buy that, and then just buy all the other books that say customers also bought. And then you'll be set. Then you'll have the list.
Shows how smart the algorithms are at Amazon, too, though. I mean, they know what you want.
But you know what? It also shows how smart the audience is.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Okay, go ahead, Stu.
Well, if you're going to buy these, you need to buy them quickly because we're about to burn up.
Are we really?
Yes. We're going to burst into flame at any moment.
No, seriously.
There's this article written, and who was it that came out on the left and said this is ridiculous? This is so bad. He's predicting an 11 or 12 degree temperature rise.
Oh, no.
In a very short amount of time.
Who?
What? And he's talking about things. He's thrown in things like the ice shelf in Antarctica that just broke off. I think it finally happened today, right?
Yeah.
But they've been looking to this because it was about to happen because it had a huge crack in it, and then it breaks off and starts floating around.
More on that in a second.
It's bigger than country.
More on this in a second. Yeah, it's important.
Yeah. Okay. Because my understanding, it's an ice shelf.
It's an ice shelf.
It moves.
Yes.
It's like a glacier, is it not?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
And it gets so big and so heavy that eventually it breaks. We need to look up the definition of breaking and melting. They're not the same.
Yeah. It's called calving.
Breaking
isn't it?
And yes. Calving is different than melting ice.
Right.
If the ice would have melted, that'd be an issue.
Right. Calving is natural and normal in a glacier.
He is saying that Miami and Bangladesh are not going to be habitable.
When? Like this afternoon?
Within the next 50 to 100 years.
50 to 100 years.
Inhabitable.
Okay. Well, everybody in Miami and maybe India will kill each other by the time we get to 100 years from now. So.
Yeah, but we're all going to burn up anyway in a heat death. 11 or 12 degrees of warming.
Yeah, but wait.
We'll kill half the world's population.
But we'll put ourselves out with the water rise.
All right.
I'm on fire. Don't worry. Here comes the water.
Yeah. He also says that some area, because I think it's called the uninhabitable Earth or something.
Yeah.
It's in New York or New Yorker or something like that. Do you have the publication, Pat? I don't have the article in front of me. I can't remember which one it was. But it says something to the effect of right now, even. The tropics are basically uninhabitable.
He's also saying it's basically too late to do anything about it, too.
But, I mean, there's 3 billion people who live near the tropics. What do you mean it's uninhabitable? 3 billion people live there.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
Have you ever been down towards the equator? Way too hot.
It's way too hot, maybe. It is a little warm here.
Have you been to Texas? In Texas. Mm-hmm. It's way too hot.
But you notice you live there.
Yeah, but I live here in air-conditioned comfort. Honestly, I've had this conversation with my wife a million times. How did anyone live here 100 years ago?
Without air conditioning? Yeah.
Oh, my.
It's a great question because I don't know.
When men were men.
I don't know.
Oh, it had to be. How did you live in Arizona or Texas?
Well, it wasn't warm then. It was actually 17 degrees in the summer.
Really?
It
was before global warming. Is getting warmer.
So this article is so crazy and just apocalyptic that even Michael Mann, the scientist who came up with the hockey stick, is critical of it.
Oh my gosh.
Even he sued conservative commentators for saying that he's wrong about global warming. Sued them. And yet even he is saying, I don't like this apocalyptic talk. That's how far this guy went. It's funny because you see everyone going crazy with that article and then also the article about the massive iceberg that breaks away from Antarctica. And so many people who are big global warming alarmists are sharing this article. I don't think they read it.
They couldn't have.
Because if you go down and you read the quotes,
every story
from the
I've
experts,
seen on it has actually told the truth.
Yeah. This is a quote from the people who are studying it. We've been anticipating this event for months, and we've been surprised at how long it took for the rift to break through the final kilometers of ice. He goes on and says, this is part of the normal behavior of ice shelves. What makes this unusual is the size. Okay, well, what are you saying?
Yeah.
Then you go down and you find another quote. This is on about paragraph 12. First of all, Luckman says, this is a guy with a study, says that the sheet of ice was already floating before it carved off the shelf ice. There will be no immediate impact. We will study for this ice shelf for signs that is reacting to the calving, which is what Pat was talking about, the ice getting so big that it actually breaks off. But we do not expect anything much to happen for years. Then he goes on to say, the team of researchers has not found, quote, any link to human-induced climate change. Luckman added, quote, we have no evidence to link this directly to climate change and no reason to believe that it would not have happened without the extra warming that human activity has caused.
Oh my God.
They go out of their way multiple times to say that this is no relation to global warming. They have no connection to it. It's normal. It happens all the time. Everyone is sharing it in the way of that this is proof of global warming.
Yeah, no, I'm seeing it everywhere.
That's because
I'm seeing it everywhere.
And the ones that are all for it are human activity most likely isn't responsible. Most likely isn't.
I mean, I don't know. They go a lot farther than the actual researchers go a lot further than that.
May I share something that is probably more of a concern than the calving? I mean, why we care about little cows on the ice shelf.
Well, what if the Titanic runs into it again?
Well, you're right.
You'll right. be concerned then, won't
you're
you?
Right. Well, but yeah. they can climb onto the ice shelf and eat the
After
little
they
cow.
Sink. Yeah, that's true.
And so they'll be fine. If they can start a fire, they'll be okay. Now, here's something that's probably a little more likely to happen. I hope this doesn't happen. On CNBC, the Power Lunch, yesterday, they had Mark Yusko. He is Morgan Creek Capital. He has been predicting bad things for the economy since January. He said, I think it was on Monday, actually, that quantitative easing and so much stimulus has made a huge bubble in the U.S. stock market. The stock market is way overinflated. He said, I believe that we're flowing toward the path of 1928 when Hoover was president. 28-29. He said, we had a president with no experience who came in with a Congress that was all Republican, who had a lot of big promises, and by fall, those things hadn't happened, and people realized in the markets, this isn't working out the way we thought, and we had the stock market crash of 29. He believes that we are following the same economic path now this fall. I hope that's wrong, but boy, there is so much building up that you could see our economy calve and float away. I want you to call Goldline, 1-866-465-3546, 1-866-GOLDLINE. Goldline is extending its price protection program for as little as $2,500. You're going to get 3 months of price protection. If you spend $25,000, you get your IRA or your 401k, $25,000 investment, they will protect that money for a year. So they'll guarantee that you won't lose a dime for a full year. They'll make it up with extra gold. Nobody does that. With just the news from yesterday, whether you are supportive of the president or not, it doesn't matter. You do know that this isn't going away. What will just this scandal do to the economy? Please call Goldline now. Read their important risk information. Find out if gold or silver is right for you. 1-866-GOLDLINE. That's 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
It's funny. The guy who plays Caesar in the new Planet of the Apes is the guy who played Gollum in Lord of the Rings. Here he is reading a Donald Trump tweet as Gollum.
The fake news media has never been so wrong or so dirty. Purposely incorrect stories and phony sources to meet their agenda of hate. Sad.
That's a good read.
That's pretty good.
By the way, you saw Planet of the Apes, did you not, Jeffy?
Yeah, we went to a special screening last night. Last night, night before last.
Yeah. Were you invited to that still?
I was not. No, I mean, I like the series, though, quite a bit. Yeah,
no,
big fan.
I wasn't.
I would love to have seen
it. How did Jeffy get invited to a special screening of Planet of the Apes?
Really good question.
You know, you just got to know some people.
You got to know some people? Yeah, okay.
Know people.
How was it?
It was okay. I really liked the Planet of the Apes series, but the last one was okay.
Oh, man. Rafe and I have been waiting.
Enjoy it if you like the other two, but...
Oh, that's disappointing.
Okay.
Right. Well, I'm going anyway. No, yeah, I'm going anyway because we're fans of Planet of the Apes.
Right.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.